Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. First, we go behind the headlines with political reporter Jason Rosenbaum. He's been writing about a rift between Missouri Republican Governor Eric Greitens and Republican Senator Rob Schaff of St. Joseph. I spoke with Jason a few minutes ago and asked about the background for that rift.
It's a really surprising rift on a number of levels. For one thing, both Senator Schaff and the governor agree with a whole bunch of issues, whether it be opposition to expanding Medicaid or a distaste for publicly funding sports stadiums. In fact, Senator Schaff's chief of staff, Jim Lemke, was a big supporter of Greitens before many other Republicans. I think that there are two different sources of angst. One is that Senator Schaff does not want managed care to expand in Medicaid, which is kind of a complicated issue that Duri Bouscarin is going to explain further next week. The more highly publicized rift is the governor's supporters, many of which who worked on his campaign, set up this 501c4 that is taking money from people and is attacking Senator Schaff for filibustering certain things. They gave Senator Schaff's personal phone number in some of these ads, which caused lots of people to call him. And because this occurred, not only did Senator Schaff really dig into his opposition on a number of issues, it actually galvanized Democrats and some Republicans that didn't particularly care for Schaff on some issues. So it's now Friday. It looks like that rift is kind of no longer dominating the news cycle. But it is kind of a showcase that when the governor is trying to deal with people within his own party that don't agree with him, perhaps the best way of doing it is not running ads highlighting somebody's personal phone number.
So has it become more personal than political then?
I think a lot of this is seeped in political and policy disagreements. But I think that it has become personal. Whenever you put somebody's personal cell phone up for public consumption, it kind of goes beyond just the typical back and forth of the political process. You're basically inviting hundreds of people to call somebody on their cell phone, which is basically what happened. And I think it should be a lesson to the governor's political staff that the way you deal with somebody in your own party that doesn't agree with you is not necessarily this fashion, because it didn't really prompt Senator Schaff to back off of his opposition of things. In fact, it probably galvanized him to talk longer on issues that the governor cares about. And it may just be a lesson that the way to deal with some of these disagreements is maybe to talk face to face and hash things out, or not hash things out, not deal with it through, you know, groups like this.
Is this having any kind of an impact on the session itself, a bigger picture?
Well, it did not end up derailing the budget this week, because the budget ended up passing the Senate, and now there's going to be a conference committee where they haggle differences out. And I think it is highly possible they may be able to get the budget to the governor by May 5th, which is the statutory deadline. In fact, it's not the statutory deadline. I think it's the constitutional deadline. Whether it affects other pieces of legislation, such as the so-called Blue Alert Bill, which would notify people if a law enforcement officer has been attacked, or any of the ethics legislation that the governor has signaled to be a priority, like banning lobbyist gifts or putting term limits for statewide officials, I think we're going to find that out in the next couple of weeks.
Is there any kind of a backstory here, do you think, Jason, with regard to Senator Schaff perhaps having political ambitions?
Actually, I think it's the opposite. He has actually said for a long time that after he got elected to a second term and is no longer allowed to run for anything, he has sworn off running for other offices. In fact, he is one of the only lawmakers that I have seen that after he won re-election, he terminated his campaign committee right away. So he's not taking donations from anybody right now and hasn't for many years. One of the humorous things was Senator Schaff was very much opposed to Governor Jay Nixon, a Democrat, issuing bonds for the football stadium that never materialized. And some people actually accused Senator Schaaf of taking campaign donations from Stan Kroenke and being bought off by him. Well, he can't do that if he doesn't have a campaign account. He really is doing what he feels in his mind is right, and there really is not a lot of leverage anybody can put on him unless Senator Schaaf himself backs down on something.
You said a little bit earlier that there's a lesson in this perhaps for the governor in terms of sitting down and talking with some of the people with whom he disagrees. Any chance of his sitting down with Senator Schaaf?
I think there's always a chance of that. And Joe Manus reported a few weeks ago that these groups that was used in this situation, and it's called a New Missouri, by the way, are becoming increasingly common throughout the country. A lot of governors have these politically active nonprofits, and they're a way of raising lots of money without having to disclose who the money is coming from. I think, though, that when these types of groups are used to attack other members of your own political party, that could have a big impact of whether your agenda gets passed. It makes you question not only the methods of where the money is coming from these groups, but also just the tactics. I've known Senator Schaaf for a long time. I also know that he's very good at either killing legislation or forcing major compromise on legislation. And I don't think that using this mechanism was going to cause him to change course when there really is no leverage that you can put upon him that is political in nature that's going to make him change his mind. So this is only one instance, but I have a feeling that if the governor's political people try to do this on another legislator of their own party, and especially of the other party, it's not going to cause people to back down. It's just going to make them more emboldened to keep doing what they're doing.
And this 501c4, the New Missouri, also gives opponents of the governor an opportunity to charge hypocrisy, given the whole ethics discussion in Jefferson City.
And that's what Senator Schaaf has said.
Right.
The governor has made a big deal, both in the campaign and since he's taken office, about cleaning up Jefferson City and promoting an overhaul of ethics laws. He has cited lobbyist gift ban, making it harder for a legislator to become a lobbyist, and also term limits for statewide officials. And a lot of people are wondering, well, why isn't the disclosure of politically active nonprofits part of that agenda? It seems like that could create a lot of ethical dilemmas if somebody is donating a lot of money to this group that can take unlimited amounts of money and you don't know who it is, and that entity is influencing the governor's decision-making. I'm not saying that's happening, but we also don't know who's donating to this, so we really don't know if that's even possible right now. And Senator Schaaf has said explicitly that if the governor wants to advance his political career, which a lot of people speculate he does, he needs to abandon this group and just start taking money in a more conventional way. Whether he actually does that remains to be seen. With the advent of campaign contribution limits on individual candidates, there is now a great incentive for politicians to use third-party groups to raise a lot of money for themselves. And frankly, there have been a lot of people who have said, well, the governor is going against the spirit of Amendment 2, which is the amendment, what it's called. Mm-hmm. Amendment 2 was never meant to cap third parties. It was meant to cap candidates. So in some ways, this is kind of an expected consequence of that.
Politicians are always looking for ways to raise money, needless to say.
Tale as old as time.
Jason, does this go deeper than Greit and Schaaf in terms of the governor's relationship with fellow Republicans? You know, they're running the government. They've got all the branches of government now.
Well, interestingly, yesterday you saw lawmakers starting to pass a lot of significant pieces of legislation. There was a ban on project labor agreements that's going to the governor. It's very possible that a decades-plus-long push to establish tuition tax credits that could potentially be used by some students in private schools could be going to the governor. And you'll probably see a lot of other major bills make it to the governor's desk in the next 2 weeks. I've never been of the opinion, just because only several pieces of major legislation has passed in the early part of session, that the session is going to be a disappointment or it's not going to be productive. This is the time when lawmakers typically pass the most bills to the governor. There's now a much clearer path than there was before, And the only thing that I think is going to stop the flow of legislation to Greitens and his ability to enact really big policy changes is two things. One is either the Democrats start filibustering things, which they haven't done, or if people within his own party, like Senator Schaaf, stand up and start filibustering things. And I think it would behoove the governor and his staff and his political staff to be strategic in their thinking about how they're going to deal with both of those potential roadblocks.
I think most people expected when the session started that this session would run like a smoothly oiled machine.
Well, I mean, that is the expectation. But there was also precedent to show that doesn't happen all the time. When Matt Blunt was governor in 2005 to 2008, there were a lot of conflicts between the Republican-controlled legislature and the governor. And that was a legislature that had a lot fewer Republicans in it. And I think what ends up happening is when any party controls the executive and legislative branches, there's never going to be agreement on what happens. And there's going to be some pretty sizable policy fights going forward. The question is, do these become kind of brush fires that you can smooth over by talking with people? Or is it going to become kind of a raging inferno that makes it impossible to run the government and pass significant pieces of legislation? Time will tell.
Jason, thank you.
Thank you.
That is Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio political reporter. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.